Okay. Good afternoon. We'll get the afternoon session started. We have two cases today, 1733 and 1735. We run our public hearings a little bit different than planning and zoning, so at this time I'll turn it over to our county lawyer, Mr. Griffiths, if you'd like to explain how our hearings are run.
Thank you. My name is Jim Griffin. I'm the county attorney. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they're legislative hearings. Council uses the information obtained during these hearings to decide whether or not to amend the county zoning map in the manner being requested by the applicant. We start the hearing with a report from Mr. Abbott from the Planning and Zoning Office. He tells us what happened at the Planning and Zoning Commission level when a hearing was held there, whether they have made a recommendation. And after Mr. Abbott presents that report and any background information, we then give councilmen an opportunity to ask Mr. Abbott any questions they may need to ask him to clearly understand the issues that will be before them today. After that happens, we then call on the applicant in the first case, which will be the O'Brien case, to come forward and present their case. If the applicant is represented by an attorney or a spokesperson, that person typically will present the case for the applicant. We ask that whomever is speaking for an applicant, or if in the case of people who may be here in opposition, those speaking in opposition, not just rise where you are or make a comment from your seat. We have to get this all on the public record, so we ask that each speaker make their comments only from the speaker stand. And when you come to the speaker stand, we ask that you identify yourself by your name and give us your address. If later we have to type up the transcript, it's necessary for us to be able to identify each person making a statement. So we ask that you would observe that protocol. After the applicant has presented their case, we'll first ask, is there anybody else here in support of? Then we'll ask if there's anybody here in opposition. Everybody will be given a chance to speak. If there's six people here in opposition, you don't have to worry that we'll cut off debate and not allow you to speak. We'll stay here as long as necessary to hear everyone. If somebody before you makes all of your comments, you might get up and say, I agree with that person. They covered all my points. We don't need to hear the same 5 points 15 times. Does anybody have any questions about the procedure? If you have a cell phone with you, if you don't mind, if you could turn it off or turn it to silent service, that would be very much appreciated. Mr. Abbott, could you give us your report?
The first application is conditional use 1733, the application of Edward A. and Janet L. O'Brien to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a multipurpose sports facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 1.8683 acres more or less, lying northwest of Road 265A and 300 feet northeast of Route 1. The Planning Commission held their public hearings April 10th of this year. The Commission received comments from DelDOT, Sussex County Engineering Department, the Sussex Conservation District. The applicant and his attorney were present and gave a presentation. There were eight parties present that spoke in opposition to this application. The applicant responded to questions that were raised by the Commission. There were no parties present in support of the application. There were 14 people present in opposition. On April 10th, the commission deferred action to allow Mr. Burton an opportunity to review the record. On April 24th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1733 for a multipurpose sports facility, based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed use meets the purpose of the code in that it protects the orderly growth of the county and will provide for additional recreational opportunities. Two, the proposed use as a multipurpose sports facility will not adversely affect nearby uses or property values. Three, the proposed conditional use is compatible with other conditional and commercial uses in the area. Four, according to DelDOT comments, a traffic impact study was not required, and the level of service A of Old Mill Road will not change as a result of this application. The proposed conditional use will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, and community facilities or area roadways and public transportation. Individual on-site septic system and water are proposed, and this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. B, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. C, all entrances shall comply with all of DelDOT's requirements. D, any outdoor sports courts are to be utilized during daylight hours only and are to be fenced and closed. Any outside lighting is to be used for security purpose only and shall be screened from neighboring properties and only installed on the building. E, there will be only one sign on the premises that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. F, the hours of operation on this site shall be limited to 6:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days per week. G, the maximum capacity of the building shall be 40 people. H, there shall be no outside pipe music on the outdoor sports courts. I, parking shall be confined to the parking lot. No parking is to occur on Old Mill Road. No parking is permitted in the front yard setback. J, no alcohol is allowed on the premises. And finally, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried four votes to none. With this application, be forwarded to the County Council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 4-0. Mr. Burton abstained. I've passed down a copy of the site plan. We've not received any additional correspondence. Be open to any questions you may have.
Questions, gentlemen? Nope. Jim?
No questions. The applicant present today? Mr. Lawson, will you be representing the applicant?
I will. I'm Eugene Lawson from Rehoboth Beach. I do have the applicant here because some of your questions may be more easily answered by him because he has more details about the actual operation of the facility. But basically, it's a facility to be located on Old Mill Road just north of Nassau Overpass. It will have indoor sports and meeting facilities. The hours are proposed are the same as what the Planning Commission indicated on their recommendation. The targeted market is actually people in the 50-year-plus category, although it will be open to people of all ages. The facility will be fully ADA compliant. It's going to have three indoor sports areas and one outdoor sports area, which, as indicated to the Planning Commission and included in their report, will not be lighted and will be for daytime use only. And based on the study that DelDOT did, the applicant believes it will not unduly increase traffic in the area, and the applicant is willing to certainly comply with all of the conditions laid out by the Planning Commission and has no objections to them. I think without repeating myself or repeating what was in the application, Mr. O'Brien is here and be happy to answer questions that you might have about any details.
Did you wish Mr. O'Brien to address council also?
That would probably be a good idea. Okay. Mr. O'Brien.
I guess the black square is.
As stated.
Could you give us your names?
Oh, yes, Edward O'Brien, Lewis, Delaware.
Okay, thank you.
This proposed building would be 22,800 square feet. There's a great need for this facility. I couldn't agree more with the outcome of what was just read from the previous meeting, and we will try to, we want this to be a wholesome, family-owned, family-run project that will improve the area. And I just take any questions that you might have about the facility.
The size of the building, with it, I'm familiar with North Ocean City's got that rec center with two gyms or two like basketball areas, I guess, or two courts that they do indoor soccer and things like that. Is it comparable to that in size? I'm trying to.
I would say comparable in design and size to that. I'm not actually familiar with the square footage.
But they actually have two, like say, indoor soccer arenas.
Okay. Well, this will have. This is envisioned to have two indoor tennis courts. Then a center core building, which would have locker rooms and showers, a very small retail corner for sports use, and then the core building would act as a buffer to segregate the tennis court activity from a multi-purpose court, which we could use for whatever's in vogue, whatever's seasonal, even. Pitch and catch for baseball or softball practice during football season. Quarterbacks could you know throw passes to their receivers. Could have basketball in there. That's why we say multi-purpose. We want to design that so that it can be used for multi-disciplines. And the outside court would also be used, like was said, during daytime hours, primarily as a practice facility, maybe some pickup basketball games, but no tournaments or anything of that nature.
Is there any, have you read the report from the commission, sir?
No, that was the first that I was aware of it, actually.
There are some things addressed in there that refer to comments made by persons who came to that last hearing who expressed concerns, and I don't know if you want to refer to any of those in your presentation, but this is the only opportunity you'll have to make a presentation.
Give him a copy of what Shane had read.
Yeah,
so he would be aware of what they referenced.
It's on page 2, the next to last paragraph. Maybe you could read that and see if there's any of those concerns you could address.
Where it starts, the commission found that Sue Rinhammer. And then it had some stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like the outside courts, the use, and you stated what, only daytime hours?
Oh, yes. That was, I think, one of the first questions at that hearing. Was whether or not that outside court had intentions of being lit, and it does not, and will not. I attempted to, because obviously I picked up a sense of concern at that first meeting, I attempted to answer somewhat these concerns with a letter to the editor, which was in the Gazette, and So I think most noise is not going to be a factor. We just heard in the report that there won't be any outside loudspeakers or anything of that nature. The building itself is a metal building, steel building, if you will, customary for this type of facility, as was alluded to, very comparable to what's present in Ocean City there. It'll be insulated, so the noise will not be a problem. Traffic concerns, we've already heard, and it was also presented at that first hearing, that DelDOT is well aware of this project and sees no concerns with it. I said in my letter to the editor and at that first meeting that we would advise carpooling as much as possible, and also advise people, if it was a heavy traffic day, not to try to go directly across northbound Route 1 from Old Mill to gain access to southbound Route 1, but to go north on Route 1, find a suitable cutover to the median, and then come back south. This is not going to be You're talking about very few cars coming and going at the same time, just people showing up for their lesson or their court time. It's not going to be a mass exit ever of cars all at once. So we don't see that that's going to be a problem. Like I said, it was all in the letter to the editor, so I hope some had seen that.
If that's something you want to attach to the record or read into the record, you can do that. If you want to just attach it, you just give it to one of us. If you want to read it, then you just...
I'd like to do both if I could.
Absolutely.
It's short. Letter to the editor has to be relatively short. It said, kudos on Ron MacArthur's article entitled Tennis Complex Draws Ire in the Tuesday, April 15 through Thursday, April 17, 2008 issue of Cape Gazette. This article was correct in illustrating that the major concern raised at the April 10, 2008 Sussex County Planning and Zoning public hearing was the possible effect that the planned tennis facility might have on traffic. The project has already passed a DLDOT review. It should be pointed out that the facility would have a minimal effect on traffic, as visitors who would use the facility would come and go sporadically to keep their scheduled court time. To minimize the number of vehicles at the facility, we would give incentives for those carpooling and strongly suggest going north on Route 1 before crossing over the median to the southbound lanes instead of trying to cross directly over to the southbound lanes from Old Mill Road. We want this facility to be a wholesome addition to the area and will not tolerate it being used as a youth center or a hangout for youths. We want families to be able to come and partake in the various sporting activities for an hour or two of physical activity. We will not shy away from enforcing the rules and will resort to calling police if necessary, but this should be a rare situation. All activities will be structured and scheduled, so we will be able to control activities at the center. The building will be state-of-the-art metal construction in a soft color scheme. It will be insulated, so any concern about noise emanating from use of the facility is really a non-issue. Although tennis is the main focus of the center, other activities on the multipurpose court would include basketball and practice sessions for soccer, pitch and catch for baseball, and pass and receiving for football. This is not going to be a major sports facility. And respectfully submitted.
Will this be a membership type facility? Or?
That was brought up at the first hearing as well, and that's a very good question. We don't want to exclude anybody from participating in the facility. So we would like to have it both ways, actually. It'll be open for membership, but not excluded for hourly use.
Any questions by other members of council?
No daycare activities or anything like that, right?
There's going to be a nursery, but only for people that are using the facility.
So,
it's not a nursery for people that drop children off to go to work.
Okay. So daycare activities, in my mind, are where they drop them off and leave to work.
But No.
There is a difference, right, Shane? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so we could put in there no daycare activities so that...
Oh, yeah, no daycare. We've never used the word daycare for that reason.
I just want to make... Cause
we said there would be a nursery room.
Well, see, I might associate if I'm... Or somebody might.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, that was brought up at the first hearing as well. All of these are very good questions and concerns.
Sometimes these places, you know, somebody gets
right.
An idea they can make a little bit extra money if they took in some extra kids, and next thing you know, you've got a daycare center or something.
We don't want that.
And you don't mind referencing no daycare activities on site as a condition?
No.
Right, okay.
I understand what you're
right.
trying to
I'm
accomplish.
Just saying, Mike,
what's that do as far as ordinance-wise?
The nursery, what they're proposing would be like an accessory use to the.
So that would be,
Lady comes in, or a guy, and they can leave the child there, whether.
The daycare Mr. Cole's referring to, somebody drops their child off at 8 o'clock in the morning, comes back.
Somebody have to be licensed by the state.
I just wanted to clarify, so there's no ambiguity later on that, you know, nursery and daycare are the same thing.
I appreciate that.
Right.
Would there be?
But that is not, no, that's not gonna happen.
I didn't think you meant to do that, but I just wanted to make sure it's clear.
Would this be a single-story or a two-story building?
The main building itself is single-story, okay? The core building that acts as a buffer between the tennis activity, which is somewhat sedate, and the other activity, which would have more people on that court probably, is imagined to be two-story. The top level of which will be an observation deck through probably plexiglass or some type of to watch the activity on both sides of the building.
So there's like three courts. There's one on one side and two on the other side.
That's right.
Right. So they would look down. Yeah.
Would there be any architectural features of the building that might give it more of a residential appearance?
It'd be difficult.
I think that was an issue that somebody had raised as to what the appearance of the building would be.
Like I say in here, just soft color scheme. It's not going to be anything obstruse, you know.
Intrusive.
It's going to be an eyesore. We don't want it to be an eyesore. Right. But how much it's going to look like a residential building, I don't think it's going to look like a residential building.
I was just referring to where it said somebody was opposed to the commercial appearance of the proposed building in a residential area.
Well, as was pointed out, juxtaposition to this site, this is only three building sites from Route 1, and everything between it and Route 1, except a single home from way back, most of it is commercial.
Commercial structures.
Okay. Now, further down, there is housing. Old Mill Road is a dead-end road, and down toward the other end, there is housing. And that's another reason why we don't see that any traffic related to our facility is going to go the opposite direction. It's going to go right back to Route 1. There'd be no reason for
it. You'll capture the traffic early, is what you're saying, because you're right behind the lighting place.
That's right.
Right,
so. Right behind the original location of the lighthouse for those who'd know that area.
Right.
Did you have a chance to look at the conditions that the commission recommended?
No, I heard them read.
They start on page 3 of that document you have in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can you, in the event council looked favorably on approving this, or these conditions recommended by the commission, can you live with them?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
No, I just appreciate your time and efforts in this endeavor. Again, I think it would be very wholesome for the area. I don't want to be repetitive, but I think this is a clean business. Someone complained that this was possibly a deer crossing. Well, something's going to be built there someday, and I don't think that this is going to be bad for the area at all.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mr. Lawson, was there anything else you had?
I don't believe there's anything substantial. The one thing that I would point out, which has been mentioned a couple of times, is this does adjoin C1 property already. So it's not like this is a purely residential area now, and all the traffic going to and from will be coming from Route 1 to the facility and back to Route 1 because it's a dead-end street, so it's not going to be impacting people beyond. Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in support of this application? Yes, sir.
Alex Justiniani, Lewis, Delaware. Good afternoon. I am to be the center manager of the Lewis Rag Club. I have owned and operated an operation called Tennis at the Beach in the area for about 2 years now. all of my clients, which have been over 100 clients over the past 2 years, friends of them that have children, people middle-aged, and as well as senior citizens, have all been in favor of this, even though I can't speak for them. I'm just informing you guys. I have children. I myself want to play tennis. I would like my parents to play tennis or other sports and be involved in activities that have physical activity in them. So I'm just trying to, I'm here just trying to say that this is a great atmosphere for not just senior citizens, middle-aged people, children. It's an atmosphere that everybody can enjoy. There's absolutely nothing about it that would you would see kids hanging out just to cause trouble. Okay, something like this is done so kids stay out of trouble. All right. I went to Vandermeer Tennis Academy in South Carolina my whole high school years. If it wasn't for that, I probably would have been in trouble back in Cleveland, which is my parents' lived. Okay, something like this is great for all ages. I just wanted to say that.
Do you feel there's a need in the area, since you're familiar with the activity? Is there a need for this type of facility?
There's an absolutely 100% need for this. And again, I just said not just for one age group, okay? It's for every age group.
Even guys our age?
Even guys your age. Every single age. And I understand some people might not want to play tennis, baseball, basketball, not play any sports at all right? But there are those who do want to be involved, and for that reason, at the moment, there is nothing for them to be involved in this area. I moved here from Cleveland, Ohio, started working in Sea Colony. That's down in Bethany Beach, for those of you who don't know. They have a good event down there, but it's mostly a summer atmosphere. This would be a whole year round for people who live here, not just for people that come here in the summer. And there's more and more people, I believe, and you guys probably know this more than myself, that are moving down this area and looking for things to do. And this is something that would definitely attract people to come to Sussex County to live here. If there's any questions that you guys might have about specifics about the sports or anything like that, I would be probably the person to ask concerning this project in particular.
Did you say your name was Alex?
Alex, yes.
And could you spell your last name?
JUSTINIANI.
Thank you.
No questions.
Any questions about Alex?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anybody else here in support of this application? Or anyone here in opposition to this application? Or if not in opposition, is there anyone here who has a question about the application? Yes, ma'am.
Come on down.
Come on.
Come on
forward.
Don't be shy. Come on.
We'll give you each a chance, one at a time, to.
I'm Ellen Carter, live off Old Mill Road.
Ellen, could you stand just a little closer to the mic or pull it up sort of to your height?
I have three or four points, but the one thing that we had gotten our community back in off Old Mill Road, which is a lot more than what is being addressed here, as if it's dead end and hardly anybody lives there. No, that's not the case. But anyhow, when we called here about the first meeting to try to have some input, there's a proposal was written and given to us, and I would love for Mr. O'Brien to read this one paragraph to see if this is a fact or
you
it was
can,
wrong.
You can just read it.
You read it.
Well, it says the proposal includes a 30 by 30 building. There will be two outside tennis courts, two outside multi-purpose sports fields for lacrosse, football, soccer, basketball, etc. So this, which was,
you have to address that.
Well, this was given to us by somebody in this office or in this building, and it only all we have is it's addressing what's outside. And I'm wondering if this is accurate.
Okay. Well, Mr. Abbott would be probably the one to answer that question.
I would need to see that.
The only thing we're hearing about is inside.
Ma'am, could you hand him that letter?
It's right in there. Okay. Well, it's not a letter. It's what we called our association's called.
No, this is from your somebody in your neighborhood. Did
I know? Okay. But we got that information here.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Abbott will be able to tell us what is shown on the application. and yes. the preliminary
this is what's advertised.
Well, he could be able to say yes or no if that's accurate.
Ma'am, we don't set up a cross-examination
All right,
system.
Sorry. No, I just want to know if that's accurate.
We're going to tell you if you'll wait 1 second. He's
okay.
The proposed conditional use stated a multi-purpose sports facility. Then under, there's a section briefly described use structured classes and clinics with specific days and times scheduled for each activity in accordance with the above conditional use. And then our advertisement that was sent out for the public hearing states that it's for a multi-purpose sports facility. That information is not in our file or anything.
It's not.
No.
It appears that someone in your neighborhood association prepared that. It wasn't,
yes.
It wasn't the county.
No. No, I'm saying it was prepared by, we have, our streets are each one an individual association. So there's three or four small. And we spoke, and someone got this information and typed it up, but she got it over here. So, I mean, when you think, when you look at that, what it's saying outside, you know, then you're anticipating a lot more.
Take this right
Shane,
here.
I got one question.
Yeah, I looked at that last time, but
it's all in the building. It's
all there.
But
if, this site, this second, I'll get you. Shane will say, maybe answer the question. This site plan that is given to us certainly shows the structure and shows the. If this is submitted, this is in the file. This is what he has to do when he comes in front of planning zoning. Is that correct? With a conditional use, if we specify inside activities and those type things. Is that correct?
Yes. It shows tennis courts and multi-sports court.
So, but is Mr. O'Brien allowed to answer the question at all? No.
Okay. Well, they didn't get it from him. They got it from here. So he...
But
here's,
he can say.
Well, here's what he filed.
Well, you can. As soon as we get done here, you can snag him and answer.
We just read you what he. We just read you what he filed with the county.
Okay. I tried to go.
It's different.
I tried to go in the couple offices before this meeting because I wanted to know, did someone? Because when you call, as I think you all would agree, you can get different versions, maybe from offices that maybe aren't accurate. And this is what we were given. Before any of this, but my strong opinion is 1.86 acres when we read this plus what's proposed is really not enough. And whenever the other meeting, I think it was stated there would be maybe 20 parking spaces. Let's face it, if during the day there are people there playing tennis and other activities, they're going to be out on Old Mill Road. And whenever you say, has anybody been down Route 1 lately to say go up to the right and go around, it's bogus. I mean, you can't do it. And the summer's coming. We go out, and you have to wait, and you wait, and that's the way it is. And it will add more traffic. There's not enough space, to me, for what's projected. There are people, one of the ladies will speak, she owns next to that and is waiting to build. So there are people going to live very close. And anyhow, that's my story.
He is required by code, and Shay, you can back me up again, I guess, for XYZ square footage, XYZ parking spots, XYZ setbacks, and those kind of things. You know.
Yeah.
And, I mean,
so you're saying they are going to anticipate the largest amount of people that might be in there at one time for those parking spaces?
Those on square footage, is that correct?
Sure. The parking would be based on the indoor recreation. It's one space per...
So many square feet?
200 square feet.
150, I believe.
150.
Okay. If it's also a tennis facility and there's two tennis courts, the most could be playing at one time would be 8.
Exactly. But then
that's not a lot of that. I mean, that's
no,
it's primarily
not
a tennis facility. I mean, tennis isn't going to attract a lot of people.
If that's accurate, right. This is why this paragraph.
Well, they have the ability to do other things. Yeah, he's got it set up to do it.
I'll wait till after and ask him, is this accurate? Because if this all that we had gotten our first information on is what is actually proposed,
That information wasn't from the county, though.
Well, it was from somebody verbally. Let me say
that
verbally.
There is a note on the site plan what they were proposing.
Is
basketball indoor, though. It said multi-purpose courts, soccer, football, baseball, golf, lacrosse practices and lessons, basketball, volleyball, some rock climbing inside, and wheelchair sports. So, I mean, he's saying these are multi-purpose courts, saying that they'll have the ability to do, but it's all inside.
Well, like I say, the information that we got initially had a lot of outside.
You don't know who told you that?
No, the lady who took this information, she wasn't able to attend today.
Right. A piece of advice. Whenever you talk to anybody in government, you write their name down and the date and time.
Well, I did, because I called back about somebody told us there was a meeting last week, but he said nothing would be brought up, and I wrote his name down. So, but I mean, I don't know if she did or not.
That could have been the Planning Commission.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, like...
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Susan Bunning. I own this piece of property that this is proposed on belonged to my sister, and she had to sell it in a divorce, unfortunately. So I own the parcel of land that's next to, I believe there's a 1 acre, approximately 1.8 acre parcel between my property and the proposed sports facility. I am concerned because I have a young child. My husband and I plan to build on our property. And
I'm 3.74?
I have 3.74 acres, yes, on Old Mill Road. I'm concerned about the number of buildings that are going to be there, the traffic. My son's 4 years old. You know, we plan to start building in the next year. And it is a residential area. I've grown up in that area. My grandparents owned the farmhouse that's next to the lighthouse, or what is now Tyndall's. And that's my concern. It's a residential area. There are many people that live down this road, and traffic is bad, and it will continue to be bad. There was a school bus accident on Minos Conway Road last Friday. Traffic was backed up for almost 4 hours. I am for a facility to propose kids getting involved in sports, but I don't want it in my backyard. And essentially, it will be in my backyard or next door to me.
Well, you have 2 acres in between, right?
Depending on where I put my house, yes.
Well, either way. I mean, you'll have 2 acres in between. 1.87 acres in between you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishes? Yes, sir.
George. Hey. My name is Howard Millman. And I've lived in that area there for 76 years, all my life. I lived 50 years right out there on the highway, right beside the new lighthouse. Mm-hmm. This fella bought the lighthouse, and all this commercial construction pushed me out. I went straight back in the woods, and I bought a $400,000 home to retire, so that I could retire in peace and not get away from all the noise and hustle bustle. And now, this man has a good idea here, but he's putting it in the wrong place. Why doesn't he put this something like this, where the kids are going to congregate, be down on Route 1, like the county council said years ago? And they told me, Lawrence Lank told me from Planning and Zoning, Dick, he said, all commercial property will be coming out on Route 1. We will not put commercial property back off 1. I said, fine. Now, this is off 1. Why can't this come out on 1? These people that come to this business has got to come out on 1 sooner or later anyway, even off Old Mill Road or up closer to the lighthouse, wherever it is. But now, you're talking about swinging, turning to the right, and go with the flow of traffic. If any of you councilmen would go down there and sit at the end of Old Mill Road for one half a day, you'll see your people are taking your life in your hand when those people shoot out of Nassau Road. They're merging into one traffic. And if they can't get out on one, they'll ride the shoulder up there. And here you're sitting out there to turn, either go straight across or merge. That Nassau Bridge traffic, It's very dangerous when they're coming down off there. Those people are getting wound up from the light. Most of them are going defensive, going back home or someplace. I'm not going to pick on any state, but nonetheless.
Pick on New Jersey.
Those people fly. I mean, you know, they come down off that bridge, and that bridge gives them the momentum to move. That's a dangerous spot right there. Old Mill Road should never have been there to begin with, or that bridge should never have been put where it is, because it's very dangerous. I mean, no matter if you're crossing straight across or going with the flow, you still are taking your life in your hand when you come out there. And if you back up 15 or 20 cars off Old Mill Road, which happens every once in a while,
absolutely,
somebody's going to take a chance. And this is what happens. So why don't we put commercial property in commercial areas, not group it into a residential area where these people back in the woods are trying to retire or trying to have some peace. They paid a big price for their homes. And this young gal here just testified or said something here. She wants to build a house there. Now, why would anybody want to build a house against a bunch of noise? And I don't care if you get one, two, or 50 kids, you're going to have a bunch of noise. And you're not going to control them. I have seen it all my life. You can't control them. They had the blue dog down there across from my store. I had the store, Melman's Appliances, in Rehoboth for many, 38 years. And it's still going. I sold the business. I own the land. I still have control there. But these businesses come and go. But what happens if this business doesn't make a go of it? Then what comes in there after him? There's no control.
Yes, sir. Yeah, with a conditional use.
You people will try to control it, but you can't control. Once you give the approval, you can't control what happens after that. Well, your state police will have to sit there 24 hours a day. I've seen that happen. I saw it at the Blue Dog. I've seen it in Rehoboth. I've seen it everywhere. They start this type of entity. It's good. The kids need a place.
Mr. Miller, let me explain something. On the conditional use, the underlying zoning doesn't change. We're not actually changing it to a commercial district where you can do all the things that you typically associate.
You got a commercial business in there, George.
That's a play on words. But it's spelled out here. It can only be that type of business. So if it fails,
right,
it reverts back to the residential uses,
right,
and it can't be used.
That's a play on words, and you know it.
No, the building will still be there, right? But I'm just saying the activities that can go in there are only this type of activity.
And then the people that were already there before this came in, you're going to have to put up with the consequences.
The
building is there.
The building would be there, right?
A steel building, rusting. Who's going to move that?
Well, nobody's going to move that. No, I agree with that. It's not an open-ended type of district.
I don't want to see any business fail or go bad.
I understand.
And we want it to go. But it's got to be put in the right place to make it go.
Right.
And I don't feel that's the right place for it.
Because of the traffic on Route 1, you're saying, is so dangerous.
Route 1 coming out of Old Mill Road. Those kids come out of Old Mill Road. I don't care who they are. We got kids living back on Old Mill Road. And they got the same problem.
Right.
Fly up that road. So, you know, kids are kids. You were young at one time, so was I. We just forgot it. How we acted.
I grew up fast.
Right. Well, I know Dale over here, Laurel, he knows.
Dale's a different story.
Yeah, right. Okay.
He's still ornery.
But anyway, think real hard about what you're doing. Think real hard about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Carter. I live at 2 Roberts Road. One thing I still can't figure out. Is there going to be a fee for anybody to come in and play basketball or pitch and throw? I don't know why anybody would want to pay to go in to throw a ball. They can do that anywhere. If they're going to have a batted ball, that ball is going to go. That ball is going to be flying everywhere. What controls are going to be? Are they going to put big nets up there to keep these balls from flying all over on Route 1 or wherever, in the houses or the residential areas?
Well, if you listen to testimony, sir, everything inside, the 90% of it is inside a building.
Yeah, but the other part that they're saying
outside,
all this activity.
There is a 60 by 120 area that's outside.
Yeah.
It is proposed.
So what happens? I mean, if kids going to pay to come in to play there? Is it a playground?
What we were told by the applicant was that it would be membership, and it would also be available on a walk-in basis for fee.
Okay, so people would pay to go in to pitch and catch.
That's our understanding.
Now, basketball, I can understand, okay? Right. But to play softball, to play soccer, to play this, to play that ball's going to be flying all over the place. I mean, they can't have enough room to be able to do that.
Well, no, it's those batting cages they're talking about indoors
but they won't have a batting cage indoors. They can't afford to put that indoors.
Well, I don't know if they can or not, but I'm just saying typically there's not enough room to have a ball field in the back.
Right. That's what I don't. Why would anybody pay to go out and just pitch and, just to catch? I mean, I could do that at home. I don't have to go there.
It's not part of the
batting. More people got more money and sense.
Batting cage, and you couldn't put a batting cage inside.
What I heard the applicant say, sir, was that it's with the emphasis, and it's on his site plan where he's got two tennis courts. The emphasis is a tennis facility, and I'm familiar with the Seacon because I live in Bethel Beach.
Okay.
And it's very successful, and you wouldn't even know it's there,
court. But
I'm just saying, what you do is when you build these places, that there are times that these activities, other things can be used. So I agree. I mean, they'll do indoor in the softball season.
Is it going to be a playground? Is that what it is? It's a playground?
You're not going to make any money having a playground, so I don't know.
That's what I mean.
As a business model, I can't believe that would be his business model. But we're not into it for a business model. Sure. We're into it looking at the zoning.
Maybe it would be more helpful if you just tell us your position as opposed to asking us questions about.
I don't want to see it go there.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I don't want to see it go there. I think it's a major problem with traffic. Unless you had a traffic light right there, Route 1. Also, you're going to need a light, some kind of a light, whether it's a traffic light, just to shine down for people that are coming out at nighttime if they're going to be open until 10 o'clock. If they got a parking lot, I think the regulations and the codes would require that there has to be lighting for that parking lot for security reasons. And that's going to shed, more of a problem, and particularly if the one lady, she's going to be building right there almost adjacent to this piece of property, and I know she doesn't want to see that structure right there when she walks out of her house, particularly when it's residential. The parking lot, I don't know how many people are going to be able to park there, but I don't like the idea, the concept that people are going to come out and they're going to play soccer, they're going to play softball, they're going to pitch and catch or whatever. Balls are going to be flying. Bats are going to be used. I know. I mean, they're going to say that they're just going to be throwing. But somebody's going to be using a bat and hitting that ball. That's going to go beyond 1.3 acres, believe me. But I just can't believe anybody would pay to come in to use it as a playground. But, they're going to have a lot of restrictions.
Well, as Mr. Cole said, there are some facilities that do it. And they're
not playground. I mean,
that's right.
There is a business model that they use.
Right.
And it isn't a playground because you'll never make any money.
Anybody paying to come in and just do that little limited space?
I've got six kids.
You're going to kick a soccer ball?
I got six kids. I've paid a lot of money to go through those kind of places.
But they couldn't play on an area that big.
Make a buck to raise those kids.
We're running all over. I'm tired. The gas is killing me.
But they couldn't play on an area that's small.
They don't do that in what you're saying. Okay, I understand. I think you're putting something there that's not actually going to be what's going to be.
Right. But I still can't believe that people would pay to pitch and catch. And I know it's going to expand to be more than that. And to me, it's going to be more like a playground. And you are going to have kids that maybe might come to use it. And it's that's not what it's for.
Well, it's all ages. I think he emphasized. He did say it was all ages. So,
yeah.
Thank but you. Anyway, I oppose.
Anybody else who wishes to be heard who has not been given an opportunity? Let the record show that we have recognized everyone who asked to be recognized. Pleasure to close the record.
Well, I can't do anything.
We'll make a motion. If I think Mr. Jones is talking about, he'd like to go down to look at it one more time or something.
I'll be honest with you, I didn't know.
I'll make a motion. We defer.
Look at it.
Second.
How about closing the record?
Make a motion. We close the record.
Okay.
Second.
Been moved to second that we close the record, Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Deeks?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'll make a motion we defer action on this to a later date.
Second. Okay.
It's been moved to second that we defer action until a later time.
Conditional use number 1733.
Beg your pardon?
Mm-hmm. On conditional use number 1733. She likes to hear that.
Yes.
I think Robin's got it. Mr. Cope.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Duke.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Well, the only, you have to check on Fridays or the internet, if I'm not correct.
Wednesday morning.
Wednesday morning. If you look at the internet or call in, they'll let you know if the next Tuesday this case will be put back on, okay? Even though it won't be open to the public, any more talk, it will be when we'll make a decision. Talking's over with, for lack of a better word. It could be next Wednesday.
It's posted every Wednesday.
Posted out on the internet.
The agenda.
If you look, then you'll see the agenda. Again, you can show up, but there's no more talking, for lack of
a
better word.
Quick vote.
The hammer's coming down one way or the other, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And when you make a decision, then it's final?
Yes. Yeah. Unless you take us to court.
Planning and zoning made recommendations only. We make the decision.
Right.
Can I add just one thing? Going to build a house right next to us. Whoever's going to come out there, would she be told so that she could meet that person when they come out?
So you can what?
Oh, this gentleman here, he's the one that's close. Says he's, doing that he now. Wants to familiarize himself. So why she wants to know if you'll call her.
Call
you want
him?
To talk to him?
Yeah. Yeah. This young lady is going to be building right next to that property.
2 acres away.
1.8.
Yeah, 1.8.
Another point, there's another right.
Okay, all right.
I mean, there is a spot in between, is that
okay.
correct?
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Okay, Jim, you're ours. I will do that. I travel that area during the summertime all the time, so thank you very much, gentlemen.
He goes by there all the time when he's coming down to live in my district.
That's right, because I'm dang glad you are my representative.
I know you are.
I count my blessings every day, George.
Shall set you free.
Half a day and look see what's going
Initial
on.
Initial use 1735.
Dishwasher.
Mr. Abbott, you want to bring us up to date?
Get us moving.
This is an application of Richard and Sonia West to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an airport and heliport to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. Containing 28.55 acres more or less, lying 900 feet northwest of Route 17, 0.48 miles northeast of Road 370, with access from a 60-foot private road. The Planning Commission held their public hearing on April 10th of this year. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. I provided each of you a copy of that booklet, along with a copy of the site plan. The commission received comments from the DelDOT Office of Aeronautics, comments from DelDOT, the Sussex County Engineering Department, Sussex Conservation District. There was a petition with 9 signatures filed in support of the application. Also at the hearing, the opponent's attorney submitted an exhibit booklet. We only have 1 copy of that. I guess the commission kept their copy, so I'll pass that down for your review. They also submitted a petition with 51 signatures in opposition. There were 5 letters that we received in opposition to this application. Each of you has, I think Robin's provided each of you with a copy of those, the 5 letters.
We got the petition right here. We got
the opposition letters. The applicants and their attorney were present, gave a presentation. There were 9 people that spoke in support of the application. They submitted a petition with 40 signatures in support. The opposition's attorney gave a presentation. As I previously stated, they submitted an exhibit booklet. There were 13 residents that spoke in opposition to this application. There were copies of 3 zoning violations and or reminders that were submitted to the commission that were obtained from our office. By a show of hands, there were 22 people present in support of this application and 19 present in opposition. On April the 10th, the commission deferred action for further consideration. On April 24th, they reviewed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1735 for Richard and Sonia West with conditions. based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the application is for a private landing strip and heliport at a location just west of Roxana. Two, this recommendation, with the conditions limiting the time and volume of the use at the property, will protect the safety and well-being of the property owners. Three, the proposed use is a permitted conditional use in the AR1 district, and the property will be used for agricultural purposes and other public uses, including health care and police emergencies. Four, the application is in compliance with the Sussex County Comprehensive Development Plan and that it supports an agricultural use and alternative mobility elements. Five, the use of the property as an air landing strip has been recognized in the county for over 30 years. Six, the state of Delaware further recognized this air landing strip as a private strip, D21. Seven, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, any landings of airplanes or helicopters shall be limited to the hours between dawn and dusk and shall be further limited to visual flight conditions only, as defined by the Federal Aviation Administration. B, any lighting on runways shall be limited to those necessary for directional purposes. C, with the exception of agricultural aerial spray applications, no commercial activities or flights, including but not limited to banner towing, shall be permitted. D, storage of fuel or hazardous materials shall be limited to such temporary storage necessary for agricultural aerial spray applications and shall be in compliance with all federal, state, and local laws or ordinances. E, use of the airport by emergency police and medevac agencies shall be permitted at any time. F, no more than 9 landings per day shall be permitted, with the exception of landings and takeoffs necessary for agricultural aerial spray applications. G, the landing strip shall remain grass or dirt. H, no more than 1 additional hangar, not to exceed 10,000 square feet in size, shall be permitted on the site. The location of the hangar shall be shown on the site plan. I, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And J, access to the site shall be from Route 17 only. There was a motion and a second, and it carried with 4 votes. This application to the County Council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 4-0 with 1 absent abstaining. We received a letter by fax today. It's in support of this application. Would you want me to read that now or under? Anybody in favor?
Well, you can. How many letters did we get from people who are not going to be here?
I think council got some. A couple.
The ones the council had, I think we already had in our file.
Right. Anything we get will be made part of the record.
Yeah. I can pass this down. It's from Alan Corman, and he is here. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll just let him.
I'm sure Mr. Corman will address his own remarks.
Okay. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Okay. I got a question. Shane, why are they here to begin with?
As it was stated during the hearing, the airport's been in existence for 30 some years. I was talking to Mr. Lank. We cannot find any record of where it was ever approved. It had been.
And 30 years was since we've adopted zoning.
Since the ordinance, yes. Lawrence was thinking maybe once it started, it could have been used. Been considered agricultural, and then one time when the ordinance was amended, that's when the heliports and landing strips were made a conditional use.
So it wasn't because that he brought helicopters in there then, it's because that you can't find they ever had a zoning or a hearing to begin with?
We couldn't find where
34 years ago would make it back in the late 70s.
Where it was ever made legal, and then
mid-70s.
I believe our office received complaints about the helicopters landing, and the zoning inspector gave them a violation under that. They just came in and applied to make it all conforming.
Because he could land. Go ahead, Dale. I'm sorry.
But does our ordinance prohibit helicopters?
It's a conditional use.
Separate from an airstrip, from an airplane?
Airstrips are conditional uses. This has got nothing.
Okay.
This is AR1.
This is AR1.
Okay, so
they need a conditional use.
What you're saying, you can't find that he's got anything.
That's correct.
Right.
Right.
The airport and landing field is listed as one conditional use in the AR district, and then a little further down, heliports and helistops are listed as a separate conditional use.
Did follow up on Dale's question? Did the during planning zoning hearings or anything? Did applicant provide any documentation on any approvals from the county or any
just
clarifications?
That, just so that they've been in operation for over 30.
So the county
years.
Doesn't have any record, and I guess the applicant didn't provide.
No.
So okay. So there's.
I think that's how probably the farmers used to do it, because I know where two are in my neighborhood, and they. I'm sure they probably don't have anything either. They just bought an airplane and cut the grass and made a strip and took off on it, you know.
Speaking with Lawrence yesterday, we were even thinking that maybe it went to the commission when under the previous planning director, the commission could have acted on it as an agricultural use. Or, you know, say it was a permitted.
Would we have anything in the records?
In
the archives? If somebody wanted to take the time to go back and look.
We'd have to go back and search a lot of minute books.
Right.
You'd have to go in that basement down there, wouldn't you?
No, well, we got them in the hallway.
No, we have the actual minute books
do
in
you?
Our office.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's just you got to take us to where do you start? Yeah. At least after 74.
All right. Mr. Abbott.
All right, let's roll.
You identified a letter from Mr. Corbin. Were there any other letters that came in that will be attached to the record?
Just the ones that Robin has prepared for each of you.
And that was,
I think we already had those in the file.
They were from the commission hearing?
I think they were addressed both to the commission and council.
There's the one here from Brian and Patricia Lewis to council, one from Michael and Amelia Struchik. Let's see, one from Mr. Weidman. These will all be made part of the record, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. The applicant is present and represented by Mr. Willard, I believe.
Yes, sir. Tim Willard, Fuqua and Yuri, representing the applicant in this case from Georgetown. I am anyway. This is Richard West. This is Sonia West. Actually, on the front row here is Mr. Corman. Most of you, a lot of you know him. You'll meet some of these other people. Back on the third bench is a daughter of the West, Anita, who's actually a pilot. You'll hear from her. Just Mr. Dukes, to sort of address your question, Mr. West bought this property in 1974, and it was a farm. It wasn't an airstrip at that time. So we're not here to establish a nonconforming use. It would have to predate 71. So what happened is, whether it was accepted or not, as Mr. Abbott said, there's no proof of it. So the county, by way of violation, said you need to file a conditional use, and that's why we're here today. In essence, the operation, or this airstrip has been active for, you know, close to 35 years. And it's our goal to have you allow the continued use as it has existed in the past. For that reason, but for maybe one or two problems we have with the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission applied, if you've read it, or Mr. Abbott clearly summarized most of it, you can tell it was a rather extensive hearing. A lot of people participated. There were witnesses on both sides. And it's our position that the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation is not only accurate as to their finding of facts, but it's reasonable as to their conditions. So I'll just try to condense my presentation to establish the record as far as what's necessary.
Mr. Willard, one thing that might be helpful for me is, could you tell us everything that Mr. West would like to be able to do on this property?
Yeah, I will. The application is to provide provide a private airstrip to allow for the agricultural use, which is the spraying agricultural use, and to allow private planes to land there, as well as helicopters on this strip. And my presentation a little further down the road describes in detail, you know, and the site plan does. It's a 75-by-3,000-foot airstrip. It's grass. What would happen is what has happened in the past is people would call him. This is just as far as the private use for visitors to this area would call him, and this is it's already a designated airfield. It's D21 for Delaware. It's on some of the state maps as well. And these would be acquaintances or friends of Mr. West, and say, you know, I'm coming in this summer, you know, for a day. I'll be there a week. Is it all right if I land there? And he'll say yes.
So that would be the same for the fixed wing as well as the helicopters?
Absolutely. There would be no commercial activity. We're not requesting, and I don't think the conditions that were recommended by Planning and Zoning would allow any commercial activity kind of for hire.
Such as banner pulling or?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the helicopters are not transporting passengers? It's not a helicopter service transporting passengers to the beach area?
Well, if helicopters are flying in there, and maybe Mr. West could approach
I'm just clarifying.
They would be people that either would hire a helicopter to bring them there and drop them off, or be a private helicopter.
Taxi.
He's not collecting any money or taking any money from any business that's using his landing strip or anything like that.
But we don't get into that anyway, but it's a land use we're looking at, so we don't care
Shane,
about it.
Shane, I got a question for Shane, just real quick. We got both of them combined, even though they're two different conditional uses, is that correct? Is that because he applied for both of them? Is that because the airport's one and then the helipad's one? Or
Mr. Jones, I'm sorry to interrupt him.
One of the violation notices, I just read it.
Okay.
That there are no approvals on file for the use of the airfield for banner, planes, or helicopter use.
Okay.
So they just put both on there.
Okay, I got you.
If you look at, I hope you all have one of these books. I checked it this morning, but if you look at tab one, it's the code section of AR1, the purpose, the conditional use, and then the purpose of conditional uses itself. And what we're maintaining, which I think is accurate in planning and zoning, or the zoning commission supported, is the purpose of the use largely for this property is the agricultural use. Mr. Corman, as we'll describe later on this afternoon, that it's very necessary for him to get down there when he burns 40 gallons every 2 hours or something like that, 1 hour, that he doesn't need to be flying back and forth to Milton. So he goes down there in the spring, in the summer, sometimes maybe in the fall, and does his operation for a couple weeks. And he's in and out of there because he's got, and there's no permanent storage there. So there's a very important.
But there's never been any violations for that activity, right?
Well, to the extent the airstrip has been violated.
The agricultural activity.
That activity you're describing right now has never been violated.
Not specifically,
okay.
No. Yeah.
No. It's either yes or no. No?
No.
Okay.
The purpose also calls for accessory uses as may be necessary or normal compatible with residential surroundings. The reality is, and as Delta, you'll see their letter later on in the exhibits, you know, they say this is one of the only left green airstrips in that area. And he doesn't want it to grow into big public airport. That's just what he wants right now, and that's what you can do with a conditional use. But there is a residential element to the extent there are rich people that have beach houses that might fly in and fly out. And so it does help support that. And finally, as to the public purpose, we believe it's a public or semi-public purpose for the agricultural industry. Also, this airfield has been used, and we're proposing continues to be used, for medevac, police, or any state emergency facilities, whether that's by helicopter or plane. And they have used that in the past.
Is there any anything out there that would prevent the state police helicopter to land anywhere they want?
I don't think so.
No, I think they can land anywhere they want because I've seen them land in schools, roads, where they're
in trouble.
So we don't need to have any special zoning for medevac and state police. Is my assumption, is that right?
Correct.
I know it's in the
correct. Okay, I just want to clear that up. Okay.
Land where we want to.
Perhaps the point is that they have used this as a designated spot in the past.
Right.
And there's actually a concrete strip there that was a foundation that they use. And, you know, sometimes there's directional lighting. So it's sort of an area where they know. And if you turn to tab two, it's a sort of a blurry picture of your comp plan, which shows a map. But what it at least demonstrates is sort of the uniqueness of the area you're all well aware of, that you know, you got a bay to the north, sort of a bay to the south, and then 113 to the left is kind of an isolated area. If you look at just above the 17 between the Millville, that's the location of this area. It's our position that this application for conditional use is consistent with the comp plan. It's in a low-density area, albeit on the edge of an environmentally sensitive development district, but it's consistent because that low density calls for a full range of agricultural services, which it's used primarily for in the spring. It also calls for other recreational uses in the low density area, such as flying. Mr. West, he's got a pilot's license, and his daughter does, and actually Mrs. West does too. They're a member of Flying Farmers, which is a group that was formed. I think they're veterans originally. They came back from wars and service in the military, and they formed a group because they like to fly. And a large part of some of his visitors to this property are people that are members of that group. So there's a recreational element to this as well. Also, I'd like to cite your mobility element of your comp plan that exists today, and that's on tab 2 as well. It calls for keeping an eye on future trends of facilities, enhancing the integration and connectivity of transportation systems, different kinds of systems. I mean, albeit this is pretty modest in the big scheme of things, but it is something that's there and I think complements that. And expand travel alternatives is the language used in your comp plan. In addition, your comp plan mobility element addresses evacuation plan. And we believe this airstrip there is an important element of that, to the extent it's a resource that could be used in whether it's a weather evacuation or some other kind of evacuation that happens in, you know, Bethany or Fenwick. You have an airstrip there that a plane could get into and they could get out of fast, especially in summer traffic. So, or get supplies in. And I know Mr. West has flown supplies to various places in the world, medical supplies. There is in tab 3, if you'll look at, DelDOT supports this airstrip. The DAAC, which is the Delaware Aviation Advisory Committee, supports the existence of the West Airport. They already recognize it. It has a number of DE21, because of its location in support of current and future air traffic demands. Due to increasing dense development and high land prices, there's a little possibility for a new greenfield airport, which is a smaller type airport. And that's their letter of support of this application. If you look at tab 4, you'll see a tax map indicating the location of the property. It's a long, skinny piece of property. It's about 28.5 acres. There's an airstrip on it of, I already said, I think 75 by 3,000 feet.
Tim?
Yeah.
The property right next door, which would be, I guess, you know, it doesn't have a tax. Is that theirs also?
You're looking at the property down there?
Yeah, no, the other way.
The other one?
Yeah,
there's to the north, sort of, the long, skinny property.
Right. Yeah, it looks like a runway beside them, too.
No.
No.
That's okay. Sold.
So the whole parcel is 25 acres?
28.5.
Okay. I got you.
There's just the planted or the grassed airstrip on the property, and the rest of the land around it is tilled. There's a concrete pad on the property, which would be the landing area for the helicopter. There is access from 17, and there's also access from Daisy Road. You'll probably hear later on today from some individuals that have some dispute with the Daisy Road access. I submit to you that really the council doesn't have a dog in that fight. There's an easement that Mr. West has. You can see the portion of it right here, that skinny little line that comes out and goes through this wooded property, and that actually comes off of West Airport Road, which is a loop-like road that comes around Daisy Road. And that's... I'm sorry?
How's it get across all the way? Was it 142? Is that... You got an easement all the way across, or is that part of it?
It's a 15-foot easement. It's on this big map right here.
Oh, okay.
It's right here.
That's correct, Mr. Cole.
All right. In whose land is it on? It starts on the Daisy property. Is it on the Daisy property or is it on the Byerly property?
It's on somebody's property, right?
Mr. West, you want to come forward if you can answer Mr. Cole's question?
It shows it in between. I can't figure out who's. Yeah.
My name is Richard West. I'm from Frankfort, Delaware. And the 15-foot right-of-way road does not, it's not on the Daisy property or the other property you mentioned. and I think I can clear up part of this that you were asking, if I may.
Yeah.
Okay. I purchased the farm in 1974. That was the only access road to that farm. It was landlocked. The 15-foot right-of-way went with that farm. The deeds, I had it researched, had it surveyed. Everything we could pull up was the Daisy property started 7.5 feet from the center of that road. At that time, Joe Aiken's property started 7.5 feet on the other side of the road. That road went with the Radney farm, as we called it at that time. You wonder why I have 28.5 acres at this time. I own the farm from 1974. Being a farmer, and not as it was in the papers, I'm still an active farmer. They said I was retired, but I'm not. I still farm the land, but as farmers, we encountered debt, and I had some health issues, and I saw a chance to pay my debts and get out. And I had a friend of mine that actually was interested in the property, and that's why I sold those acres I did. But I did not want to sell my airstrip because our love is flying. I have a daughter that is a C-5 pilot. She's here today. I brought her up in aviation. I have a second daughter that loves to fly. She's not a pilot. I have a wife that's a pilot. We've been flying since 1974. To answer your question, why are we here today, Dale? I would like to ask that question also, but I want to answer that first. In 1974, when I purchased property, Mr. Roland Derrickson was a very close friend of my family's, and he lived just off the runway. And I went to Mr. Roland. He was a member of my church also. And I said, Mr. Roland, I have purchased this property. I would like to put an airstrip in. Do you have any problem? At that time, there were no houses out there except for a few farmhouses. Mr. Roland said, Richard, I don't see any problem. That is a desolate area. And so I proceeded on to put an airstrip in that very year, thinking that if it's okay with Mr. Roland Derrickson, he was head of planning and zoning at the time, it would be fine. Now, whether he recorded that or not, I cannot answer that question. Evidently, he didn't, but he gave me permission to do so. So we were not in violation. I actually asked permission to do that first. So that's how the airstrip came into being.
Did you ask him at church, or did you ask him over in Georgetown? Did you go into his office?
I don't remember that, George. I really don't.
That was a Sussex County way.
You never
right?
came.
Yeah. But that was a way of doing business in 1974. Your word was your bond. And, you know, so I asked him. And not knowing that there were regulations at that time, you know.
We didn't have any yet.
The other question you asked, why are we applying for a helipad permit? Webster's Dictionary says that an airport is a place for aircraft to take off and land, not airplanes, not helicopters. Does not specifically say. It says aircraft. That covers all airplanes. And I asked planning and zoning that. I said, why are we doing this? If I'm an approved airfield, you say, you know I've been flying.
Be approved by the state, not by the county.
You're not approved by the county.
Okay, okay. So, and that's why I applied, because the county asked me to, okay? So I did as they asked. I didn't ask. I did not do it the first time, because I thought, the Federal Aviation says I'm an airport. The state of Delaware says that I'm an airport. This must be something wrong here. So the next time they sent a letter, I applied, and only because they asked me.
Over the years, we've had a number of situations like this where things had, you know, gotten a quasi, what somebody thought was an approval, and it wasn't. And so basically, like Dale said, or Finley,
yeah,
you don't have county approval, but Roland did things like that. We all knew Roland.
Okay. So that's how it came into being.
Okay. That clarifies that.
Thank you, Mr. West.
No sense looking for any
records.
Let me call Mr. Corman up for a second.
It stopped. It stopped.
Can you just state your name for the record, please?
I'm Alan Corman from Melton, Delaware, owner of Alan Corman Aerial Spraying.
Okay, Mr. Corman, you've heard your name mentioned a couple times. You wrote a letter to the council, so they have that. Maybe you could just summarize, you know, how you use this land and why it's valuable to you.
Shane, do you want me to read the letter?
Do you want me to summarize it? Do anything you want.
All right.
I mean, hit the high points.
I wrote a letter this morning to the council, because we were real, real busy right now spraying wheat. I didn't think I'd be able to get here, but it's too windy to apply chemicals. And we've been operating out of this airstrip for, I guess, 30-some years. We used to operate out Raymond Townsend's at Dagsburg and Richards Airstrip, but Raymond's was sold to Indian River School District. So this is the only airport in the whole area that we can operate out of, and we service several farmers in that area. Cliff Murray, Subbyville, Greg McCabe, Subbyville Ford Tractor, Cliff Parker. I mean, several farmers we spray for down there. And you all were pretty familiar with our operation anyway. So I won't waste a lot of time. Without that airport, it'd be awful, extremely hard for us to service that area because we're burning 40 gallons an hour, and AV gas right now is over $5 a gallon, which is $200 an hour. I don't think the farmer could afford us if we had to ferry that far, really. We need something close. I've operated out, like I say, 30-some years, and Richard has never, ever charged me a dime. He's hauled water to us. He furnishes water. He gets a truck and fill the truck with water for us when we're busy. And he's never asked for 1 cent from us. And so that's that all I have to say.
What time of years are you down there?
We operate, like right now we're there in April, the end of April to probably the first week in May, about 2 week period, and about two week period in July when we're spraying corn. This ethanol has driven a lot of fungicide applications in wheat, corn, and soybeans for this corn for standability. They're getting a terrific yield increase with the fungicides, quilt, quadris applications on corn. So that's going to be something that's going to be here for a long time. A lot of things we've sprayed over the years, as we all know, it's had snake oil, as far as I'm concerned, never mind anything. But this really, really works. And I was apprehensive about it when it first came on the market 3 years ago. But all the tests we've done through Department of Ag and USDA and NAAA, it's really something that's really been profitable for the farmer. And so they need us a lot more now than they ever need us. We used to be 911, just insecticide.
Yeah.
But if they had army worms or corn ear worm, that's the only time that we were called. But now it's turned into be something that's very needed for this fungicide application, all the diseases, and they got chemicals now that really work, and increases their yield, and so they get.
I think we get the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a need for what you're doing. Yeah. I think we all agree to that.
Absolutely.
Any questions for Mr. Corman?
No, we all know what he does.
Thank you. Why don't I just call you up here? Yeah, I was going to call Anita Werner next, and that's Sonia and Richard's daughter, but she's feeding her baby now. You can't come up. But just briefly, let me tell you about she grew up flying in this. Okay. Anita actually's got her pilot's license. She flies for, I think, Continental.
She's an Air Force pilot.
Air Force pilot. So she flies C.
If she's doing C-5, she's not flying Continental.
She's not going to put a C-5 down here, though. I don't know if you could.
I don't know if anybody want a C-5. You're evacuating down that neck of the woods.
Can you just address, state your name for the record?
Yeah, Anita West Warner, 32615 Aviator Way, Frankfort, Delaware.
And you've obviously grown up on this property, more or less. And if you could maybe tell council your history of flying there and how it's been used.
Yeah, I've been flying with my father and mother since I was a baby in the car seat in the back. All over the United States, Canada, within the small plane, also trips to Del Mar Airport when it used to exist, Milford, Rehoboth, all these small fields. We used to fly there and go get a hamburger for dinner or something like that. Of course, since September 11th, we all know that there's been a big change in general aviation in this area. We also know that there have been all the green fields, as the state refers to them, have shut down in the area. There is no more Rehoboth Airport. There's no more Milford Airport. There's no more Del Mar Airport because property has become so valuable and people just don't hold on to airports because there's no financial benefit to do so. The benefit of us is we love aviation. Hope to be able to continue in that venture of loving aviation and general aviation. But basically, yes, I'm a C-5 pilot in the Air Force Reserves at Dover, and I'm a Continental Airlines 757-767 first officer, and I fly general aviation in my father's plane just for fun. And it's a love that we have, and I hope to be able to continue to do that. Any questions for me? Or any questions for me?
I think we're cool. Yep.
Thank you.
Just briefly, for the record, there's no wetland issues with this property. If it was served with sewer, it would be on-site septic. You have a DLDOT letter saying no TISs was required, in addition to the DLDOT letter from the Aviation Committee in support of this. As to the conditions that were approved by or recommended by the Planning Commission, their finding of facts are actually similar to the ones that we offered, and we believe they're accurate. As to the conditions, the only thing that we have concern with is J, where as access to the site shall be from Route 17 only. That hasn't been the access in the past, and to the extent there's a dispute about that easement, to the extent there is, I think that's something that has to be resolved by a quiet title action or an agreement among the parties. You've heard testimony that that's how he's accessed it in the past. If you look at the site plan, you'll see that Mr. West has purchased a four-acre easement that goes to 17, and it's just a paper road that's actually tilled. And when he needs to till his farmland, that's where I'll use to get big equipment through.
Is that shown on here like him?
I think on the site plan, Mr. Jones.
Yeah, actually, the blueprint is something.
Yeah. And it's the one that just goes through.
Okay. I see it up in the corner.
You see it?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And you do have a tab in there that I didn't even address that, you know, we get a little carried away with Google Earth, but, you know, you can see pictures of where this is located and then one that really zooms in as to the location and shows the
street. Does Mr. West live on the same property? Or
he lives in the house that he grew up in, I think, on a farm down near Dagsboro.
The crow flies, I actually live about a half a mile from that farm on my existing home farm.
Okay.
And let me quickly explain one thing. I said earlier that the road off West Airport Road coming into the property I've used ever since 1934, that was the only route in. About 4 years ago, I was fortunate enough to purchase 4 acres off of Route 17. Well, when I sold the other acreage, instead of losing my own, you know, another way to use for an access, I retained a 60-foot right-of-way. I am currently farming that land. There is no road there. I continue to farm that land. I just use it when I need to bring a wide piece of equipment in. There is no road on that 4 acres going to Route 17.
You are going out that way. You could go out that way.
Yes. I could. I would have to put a road in because that ground is quite low there, and it would take a lot of expense to put a road in there. So we would like to continue using our 15-foot road. Thank you.
Richard, stay up for a minute, because you might be able to answer these questions.
Sure.
Because I'm anticipating some of the applicant or the opposition and what they might ask. What are the impacts of this type of airfield on neighboring property owners? Because I know with our county airport, we had to buy so much land around because of flight paths and we couldn't have any certain size buildings. We couldn't have trees or certain other things. What impacts do you have on neighboring property owners?
Well, George, now this is one opinion. I don't see any impact on any other property.
Well, I mean, regulations.
I see them as impacting my property because I have been there for 34 years, and all these recent houses have been built in the last 10 years. People moving in and building houses.
Well, they own their land. I mean, you don't.
They bought their land.
And they own it, right?
They do now, yeah.
Right.
But as far as taking off and landings,
yeah,
we come in at a safe altitude so that planes, if there was an engine failure, which I haven't had,
right,
they are safe to glide in. They would not fall out of the sky.
But I'm just saying, I know we have lines drawn.
That's because the county has federal funds that help to build that.
But I'm
facility.
Just saying, I'm just.
Does he have any rules?
I'm just saying, are there regulations affecting neighboring property owners with this type of airport? Is anybody aware of any or?
He's not a commercial.
It's not
airport.
A commercial airport. Therefore, there are regulations that I have to follow.
A neighbor
could
come
airport.
Within our setbacks and build a building as high as we permit.
I would hope you, knowing that there's an airport there and been there for all this time, I would hope you wouldn't approve a high rise there.
Well, no, I'm not saying.
But if so,
you're allowed to build in the county, what,
42 feet.
So,
okay.
Jim, let me just ask a hypothetical. A neighboring property owner go in and gets a building permit. as long as they're within their setbacks. There's no regulations that would prevent them to build right.
No county regulation.
No county. But I'm, is anybody, I mean, how would we find out? Lynn, are you, didn't you fly a little bit or something?
I don't drive. No, I ride it.
Ride it.
I'm
just saying, is there any regulations affecting
these? Is there any federal?
Mr. Corman had his hand up. He might have. If you know,
somebody might know this. I'm just curious because I know we're affected by it. But I'm
Division of Aeronautics. Now, when you apply for a building permit
right
at a private airport, it has to go through Division of Aeronautics. They will not issue a building permit for a house on the end of the runway in a glide path, even for a private airport. They got a glide ratio with all the figures. I can't cite them off the top of my head.
Okay, so if somebody came into our county office and got a building permit, who would oversee, make sure that wasn't built?
Have to go to the Division of Aeronautics, and they'd have to prove it.
That's a state agency.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Would that be triggered in zoning, Shane? Are you aware of that?
That's all I'm looking at.
Shane's looking at it, because I think didn't we have another application up near you one time, and there
Kent
was
County,
that issue,
in Kent
right?
County, our airport is right, open right in the planning and zoning, right in the building permit office.
Right.
And everybody, anywhere in that airport area, up at Farmington,
right,
anybody in that area gets a building permit, they have to review it. And I would think it'd be the same.
The thing that you were talking about was there was an application for a tower. And Mr. Corman
was
came
that
what and
it was?
He came and yeah testified.
You were telling about the flight. Okay, right. I'm trying to remember you being here.
Cell tower. It was cell tower.
The tower was about 175 feet tall.
Okay. That's it. Now you answered kind of my question. I'm just curious if
there have to go through the Division of Aeronautics now. It went into effect about 5-6 years ago.
Okay.
Before they issued a building permit, and they were around the airport.
Okay.
So they'd have to stay out of that funnel or whatever you want
so
to call it.
So you do affect neighboring property owners with your activity.
We actually, George, since people have started building off the end of the runway, it has changed somewhat our way of flying. And to avoid controversy, what we do, providing we have a safe rate of climb, we have left the airport, we have a safe rate of climb, we try to turn out before we get to some of those houses and try to make a turn and avoid those.
I'm just curious, because
you're... But now, you might not have the whole picture from some of you that don't know where we're located. Mm-hmm. On the west, going out of the west end, you probably have a half to three-quarters of a mile before you ever get to a house.
Right, that's why I was going to...
There's nothing
on the wind,
there.
Which way you go? Or
it's open farmland.
Yes.
Going out the east end, we do encounter some houses, but they're not on the end of the runway. They're set back maybe 300 yards off the runway.
Mr. Cole, if you'd like, I have a better picture. It's 2008, an aerial. You just can see kind of what's around.
Well, I'm out.
Do you want
to? Well, that's all right. I've been to give him something to look at.
I've been eating in Mr. Wood's backyard a few times. I know where I am.
Just trying to distract him.
Ask Mr. West a question.
Yes, sir.
Permission?
Go ahead.
Mr. West.
Yes.
I'm sure all the councilmen have heard the same complaints that I've got. I've had complaints, opposition. I've had people in support of both that have called me or contacted me or emailed me or whatever. Most of them don't have any problem at all with your airplanes, but they're more concerned about the helicopters. How many, I know you can't say exactly, but what kind of frequency do you anticipate helicopters coming in there if you granted a helicopter pad?
Dale, I cannot remember a helicopter coming in a month, in the last month. That's how rare it is when a helicopter comes in, but they do occasionally come in. Now, last summer, or maybe summer before last, we had residents that own houses at Bethany, South Bethany, North Bethany area, mm-hmm, that were from Wilmington. And they work for MBNA, credit card company. And they actually own their own helicopter for these executives. And they called me, no money exchange, they called me and said, you are the only airport down there. Could we land there and drop off some people? And I allowed that. Since that has ceased. MBNA has sold out. They sold their helicopters. They're not allowed to do that anymore. Most of the helicopters that come in there are no bigger than what the state police flies. And I would dare say we probably wouldn't have one a month if you figured on a whole year. We would not have over a dozen helicopters a year probably. We
do use helicopters for spray and ag too.
They also use them for spraying ag also. Actually, I was going to bring that up. We have a lot of gypsy moth in our area, and a lot of you know that. And a lot of firms have been contracted to come in the area. Even these people that are in opposition, these people have sprayed their trees for them, whether they know it or not. Now, they're in opposition to a helicopter, but yet they don't mind having their trees sprayed. Mm-hmm. So.
Just clear, and another one. I got one more. You're done, Dale? You guys done?
Yeah, I'm done, yeah.
Go ahead. Again, based on the telephone calls, I've kind of related to everybody. I said I'm kind of familiar with it. I said I've always considered it an ag-related airfield. Ag-related activities. Tell me why you want to expand it.
I don't.
Okay, so
I think that's where the misconception is.
Okay, let me ask you this. Then ag-related activities there, and I like what Mr. Corman described, I don't think anybody I talked to, they said, no, we don't have any problem with that. It's these other activities. It's been implied that
What other activities?
Well, the helicopters coming in for passenger use and this and that. And, I mean, I'm aware there's some guy in South Bethany may have an airplane, might fly in, and I'm just concerned. You make it sound like they're all friends, but there must be a certain amount of liability when it comes to insurance and stuff, or if you have all these friends coming into your airport. I mean, something could happen, and, I mean, I can't imagine that, you're just letting anybody willy-nilly fly in there. But anyway, I said ag-related activities, from as long as I can remember and as long as I've known you all, has been what it's been used for. And I said there shouldn't be any intention, and I don't think the council would intend to try to curtail any of those activities. So is it safe to say you, as long as everything was ag-related, you'd be fine?
No, that's not.
Why do you want to?
Because my personal plane is not ag-related. It's a private airplane. It does not spray. It's not a spray applicator.
But then it's these other...
For 34 years, we have been flying private aircraft out of there, which I fly.
Right.
Which I think Lynn flew for, maybe, I don't know. I heard he was a pilot. I don't know Lynn personally. But numerous people that fly.
Right. And I think
two to four seater airplanes.
Right. And I think you also told me there's fly-ins, or is it where you get together and have these fly-ins. They
exactly.
All have picnic lunch.
Once
and they all
a year,
fly out.
We have a fly-in. We have friends come in that are in aviation, mostly flying farmers.
Most of the people I talked to, again, had no real problem with the fly-in, the occasional fly-in. The fear is that it starts, something happens, and then see when a conditional use, you can sell the conditional use, and the next applicant may not be Richard West. And your type of activities, and may push it to the envelope, and that's the fear. It just
George, I'm here because they asked me to come here and apply.
Well,
we don't want anything different than we've been doing for 34 years.
Okay,
we have flown aircraft, we have flown helicopters. I will tell you, we're not interested in banner pulling.
But when I read,
we're not interested in.
Okay,
that.
I know. But when I read planning and zoning's recommendations of nine flights per day, and I'm sitting here saying, he didn't get any nine flights a day.
We don't. But I say that because. Who knows?
Well, why would it change abruptly since you were going along all these years and all of a sudden
it hasn't changed? We have had nine airplanes in there. We have had.
Right, but this is a daily occurrence.
Well, I'll tell you why. Because we put a number on it. Mm-hmm. Because we have a fellow on the, if you want to ask this question.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
And I'm not mentioning names, but we have a fellow that sits on the southeast side of Route 17 with binoculars looking and counting airplanes. And that's why.
Well, I'd love to get in I'd love to have something we could approve for you that we don't have to have anybody counting airplanes.
Well, always will. will.
Okay, that's the challenge, and I think the council here would also, because it's very difficult.
And that's why we said nine, okay?
Well, no,
if we had said 100, you would have probably said no.
Right.
So we thought nine was a safe number. It's not a big number.
Okay, I don't.
And we thought you could live that with that as well as us.
I personally don't want somebody to call up and have to have one of our inspectors said there was 10 in today.
And I don't either.
And then how's anybody going to ever prove it? It gets cumbersome. And I'll talk.
Asked me this, I said, Tim, I really don't want to put numbers on it. I said, maybe nine would be a safe one. But there might be, during the wintertime, there might not be two airplanes a month coming in there, except my own.
But anyway, that's a challenge I'm having right now with some of the testimony and planning and zoning's recommendations. Okay. So go ahead. I don't want to dwell on it. We'll
that's
deal
it.
With it later.
That's okay. It. That's okay. The answer.
The number is somewhat arbitrary, Mr. Cole, but we tried to come up with something reasonable.
We count on you to be there counting them, Mr. Will.
You talking about?
No, because I can't afford to pay him.
He's the cheapest lawyer in town.
We'll debate this later. I'll let you see my bill.
You're talking about nine.
I shouldn't be dragged into this. We had this discussion with the commission as far as enforcement, and I don't think we got a silver bullet for that.
I don't want to tie up any more of the proceeding, but go ahead and move on with it.
You know, you can see with they said nine landings a day, which presumes helicopter or planes, and then that's separate from agriculture. You know, as far as you've heard his testimony about helicopters, and if you all want to play with the helicopter number separate from that, obviously.
I don't know yet.
You're talking about nine private, excluding crop dusting.
Yeah, that's what the commission is accepting.
And I don't like putting numbers on it because then there's going to be somebody sitting there counting airplanes.
But we also realized that we had to put a number on it out of fairness to what's, you know, we're asked to.
And we have. Yeah.
Absolutely, I understand.
Do you have other questions for Mr. West at this time?
Thank
you for hearing us.
If I could just sum up, Mr. Jones, sum up a few things.
Yes, sir.
You have the minutes that you saw, and I'm looking at bottom of page 7, where you know the opposition and Mr. Weidman led the charge there, and you have his legal letter, but most of the time was spent on other things. That the neighbors were concerned, and they said with the banners. They have no problem with crop dusting, that the use should be limited to a specific number of aircraft, that they oppose nighttime activities, and they oppose directional lighting. Mr. Izzo in particular, who probably speak today, he doesn't want helicopters there. We talked, and he'll share with you, I'm sure, about a lesser number than what was recommended by the commission. But I submit to you that the commission has addressed a lot of their concerns in here, and we think reasonably so. I've addressed the issue about the condition dealing with access to 17. I don't think that's fair in light of the history of the property. To sum up on the law and address Mr. Weidman's letter, this is a permitted conditional use in AR1 as far as the agricultural use, and we submit that it's permitted as an accessory use. We think it's well within your comp plan, reference low density, ag use, and the mobility element, reference evacuation and versatility. Have there been any fatalities or any accidents in 34 years at your airport? Mr. West is indicating no. We talked a little bit of last time to address Mr. Weidman's concern about the geese, that there have been no geese that they know of that have been killed flying into it or on there. He has some data there that I think geese hang out at airports. It's probably in urban areas because an airport's an open area and there may be water, but there haven't been a problem at his airport. The opposition or Mr. Weidman also pointed to, you know, what about Sussex Airport? That's a different beast, I think. You know, that's more of an industrial airport. You've all developed that. That's been sort of your baby. This is not in that league, and by a conditional use, it's limiting to what it is, which is a green airstrip. I've talked about the location we think is important. So for all those reasons, we think this is a semi-public, public use. There's a need for it. We did just briefly, or I'll hand to Mr. Abbott. We took the petition of the opposition and just did quick title search on the date of the deeds for all those properties, just to see, you know, because it is a reality that this has been around for a while, and maybe some of these people haven't been. It looks like maybe 7 out of 35 that we were found were older than 10 years. Most of them are in 2000. But if you'd like to accept that, I'd submit that for the record.
Yeah, you can give that to Jim if you like, or Shane, either one. Whatever you feel like, drop it.
It's kind of rough.
Thank you.
Tim, Mr. Dukes has one more question.
Yes, sir.
Looking at Jay from planning zoning, I'm not quite sure I understand that you have a 15-foot easement, but I don't think you ever said who owns it.
You need to come back up, Mr. Way. I'm sorry. We'd like to see you anyway.
Since the adjoining properties start 7.5 feet from the center of that road, we determined that that 15-foot road goes with that farm. And which a friend of mine, Guy Moran, owns now, is sitting here. I can't. He's here tonight, today. He owns that right away. And when I sold him the property, I had it put in my deed that was still my right of way of entry and departure.
So legally, it describes that there's a permanent easement across your piece of property.
Yes, it is. And he okayed that.
Okay.
You agree with that, Mr. Griffin?
I agree that what the applicant has told us is that he owns the 15-foot strip. Without doing deed research, I couldn't give you an opinion as to whether that's the case. But the representation of the applicant is that he owns that 15 feet.
Right.
And our firm hasn't exhausted a title search on this. This was done by the surveyor and his previous, which clearly showed it on there, and the duration. And may be a dispute that they have.
If it's owned by him, it's not an easement.
Yeah. Well, it is not owned by me now. It's owned by Guy Moreland. But when I sold it to him, I retained a 15-foot easement.
Somebody else owns it, but it's a permanent residence. Yes.
And there are concrete markers in place 7.5 feet from the center of that room.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And the surveyor has identified it.
Yeah.
That's that little, if you flip the page.
No, and it is coming off West Airport Road, which comes off Daisy Road.
This shows you, if you go, Tim, on the plot plan, if you go up in the corner, the little where the site is shown. I don't know, that's a property line.
What do you see,
the easement right there.
There it is right here. Right there.
Did you,
that's it.
If I can approach, I got some
cut
up.
Mr. Duke.
This is the easement right down here that goes down to West Road, right to the airport property.
Right, I know that, yeah, right.
Okay. And
this
existing is...
Existing
15-foot
easement.
Okay. Now, where's the other one come from?
Oh, there's one, if you see right here, 60 to 60-foot wide.
17.
Yeah. But this is till, and he bought that so he could get farm equipment. And
missing the deadline. So this one comes to...
That's dirt, and he's been... How long have you been...
All the way down here.
Comes all the way down to there.
Right.
Since 1974, and the farmer that I bought it from before that was his only access.
Thank you, Mark.
Just beginning. Okay.
Okay. We got it, Craig.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
That's all I have, gentlemen.
Questions?
Is there anyone?
Go ahead.
So I guess, Mr. Willard, if some of the opposition comes up and say, I own that land, or I'm having it surveyed, and this right-of-way really is mine, then where do we go from there?
Well, I can't
ask you later, so I got to anticipate what they might say, and I got to ask you now.
No, and I think they did. We tried to preface that. That's why we don't like the condition, and we don't think it's fair to say there can only be access by that 60-foot strip that's actually in corners tilled sometime. But I think what we would ask you to do is, quite frankly, not address it, because I don't think that's really something that the county council should get into deciding title issues.
And, I agree with you there. We shouldn't get into it, but if they can prove that they own that right of way,
then we can't use it.
Then you can't use it, and you know I don't see if it's owned.
Well, you can use it if they have an easement.
The area that is the subject of the application is 28 acres. It does not involve the 15-foot strip, no matter who owns it.
But
so what we're looking at is the land that the applicant proposes to use as an airport or a landing strip of some sort. If there's a question or a dispute over title, these folks would have to resolve that in the courts.
I'm not disputing title. I'm disputing number J. Access to the site should be from Route 17 only.
That was a recommendation of planning and zoning.
Okay.
Right, because he owns that land, is why I think is why they did that. They know he owns that.
Well, if he can convince council that he owns the 15-foot right-of-way, I can't see taking that away from him if he owns it.
Well, he's told us that he owned it at one time, that he sold it, but he retained an easement over it, a perpetual easement.
You have it exactly right. I do not own the land going to Route 17, nor the one coming off West Airport Road.
But you have an easement.
I have an easement on both of those.
Okay.
Yes.
And the reason would like to see that condition removed and is that we don't think it was appropriate for the commission to impose it, you know, first of all, for the same reasons I'm saying.
In other words, if you're in a dispute of who owns what, it's not our job to worry about it.
That's correct.
You guys have to fight it out in court.
Correct, and we will abide by the
whatever
law.
The court says.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to speak in support of this application who has not been given an opportunity to speak yet?
Good day, fellas.